You are listening to the 1440 podcast. 1440 is the youth ministry of Eagle Mountain Church in Fort Worth, Texas. For more information and for more resources, visit 1440.com.
So, you know, offer me your attention tonight and listen, because the things that I'm going to show you tonight are not just something I hunted in the Bible to find to give you a good message. The things that I want to share with you tonight have changed my life, and it has made me free. And I've always loved Jesus, always. There was never a moment that I didn't love Jesus. There was never a moment that I didn't serve Jesus. But, you know, I started saying this a couple of years ago, and I was actually talking about somebody else, if you know what I mean. And I started saying, well, you don't know what you don't know. And the longer I said that, the more I realized, wait, I don't know what I don't know either. I better find out some stuff. And long story short, with no details much on that part, I was in a really hurting, hard place a few years ago. And honestly, I didn't exactly know what I needed, but I knew where to get it. And that I've always known. And you need to never forget that either. So when you come up on something, you're having a hard time, don't just sit there and cry. Don't even just sit there and just cry out to God. Put into action what you do know. But you, at the same time, you have to open your heart up to hear from Him what you don't know. And that is where people miss it. Think about the rich young ruler. What did he came in a sort of humble way to Jesus? I mean, it sounded great, didn't it? Oh, good master, tell me, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Man, doesn't it sound like to you that he's like after it? He's got Jesus on his mind. He's got the kingdom on his mind. He's ready for Jesus to take him somewhere. That's what it sounded like. But really and truly, he called Jesus good. Jesus said to him, why are you calling me good? You know what? I know Jesus knew that this guy is not really what he seems like. And so the rich young ruler says, Jesus says, you know, you've done all these, he's like kept all the commandments, and he's done this and he's done that. How many times have we gone to God to receive from him based on all that stuff we do right, based on all the stuff we know, without really bearing witness and hearing him say what we don't know? Because let me tell you something. Anything that you don't know from the Lord, Satan will try to use it against you. And if you hear what you don't know, Satan will try two things. He'll try to get you to argue with it. And he'll, maybe more than two, but a couple of the things, he'll try to get you to argue with it. That's not true. He'll try to make you ashamed that you weren't doing that. So the shame will keep you from receiving what Jesus is showing you you need to know. And shame is a deadly thing. Shame, the Lord told me this a year ago or more. Shame is crippling the church. And Jesus is done. Say done. He is done with it. Praise God. He's done with shame. So we need to be done with shame too. So the rich young ruler, you know, it can be, Satan can make you shamed. He can make you argue. He can, not make you, please back it up. He can talk you into, if he can talk you into, he'll try. But he can't make you do anything. So you need to remember that. And I apologize for phrasing it that way. But he will try to talk you into those things. Or he can make you, he will try to make you think you already have that. Or you already understand that. Or I'm already doing that. And pass over something that God is saying to you. And you think, oh no, I already got that. Oh, no, I'm good. You know, altar call happens. Oh, no, I'm good. That can have, when an altar call happens, And there's this little thing on the inside of you saying, get your rear end out of the seat and go down there. But you don't. That is pride and or shame. And either one of them are tricks of the enemy to keep you from being delivered. So what I discovered in this fun journey of my life is that I didn't know everything that I needed to know. And I discovered there were some things in me that needed to come out and be removed that I didn't even realize were there. You think, well, I love the Lord. I'm serving Him with everything that I know how to do. Ah, but there's some things I didn't know. But I found this scripture. Back that up. Jesus showed me this scripture. And I didn't realize it at the time. That's why you need, you know what? I don't have my glasses. Can you get, I think they're in my purse. I don't care which ones, but the pink ones match, so that'd be awesome. Jesus showed me this scripture in Psalm 19, if you want to go ahead and turn there. And honestly, I don't really remember where I saw it. Thank you. I don't really remember where I saw it, but it stuck in me. Have you ever had a scripture, do you like that, just stick in you and you keep kind of coming back to it? I began a couple of years ago on my iPhone. I've had to do several of them since then, but I made this notes folder on my iPhone, on my phone, that just said words to me. Man, I put, people would text me and I'd copy it over there. I'd hear something in a service and I'd be like, that's for me. Or a scripture, I'd just be reading, I'd see a scripture. Or honestly, I kind of think this scripture jumped out at me on Instagram. You know, the Lord is not beyond using any of those things, right? And I don't do Facebook because I don't like Christian bashing, and I don't mean sinners bashing Christians. I mean Christians doing a good job of it themselves, so I stay off of Facebook. But I love Instagram because you get to see food, travels, kids, and church, right? Pretty much, mostly, that's what, and scriptures. At least that's what the people I follow put on there. There may be a key in that, too. I don't know. So, but this scripture jumped out at me, and when it did, the Lord read it to me. You need to ask Him to do that for you. And so He read this to me. How can I know all the sins lurking in my heart? Do you all know what the word lurk means? It's kind of a word we don't use a lot, but it's just being like sneaky, you know, lurking, hiding, sneaking up, hiding where, you're not aware that they're there. So how can I know the stuff that's lurking or hiding in my heart? This really isn't talking about your spirit. You know, it's a really important thing that we need to do to distinguish what our soul is and what our spirit is. Our soul is critical to who we are in Jesus. Our soul is what has to be renewed. We think a lot about our spirit, and we put the word in our spirit is renewed, reborn. It's awesome. It's our soul that is either grown mature or a baby or driving you in the right direction or driving you in the wrong direction. So it's critical that we open up that area to the Lord. And so this says, cleanse me from these hidden faults. Well, when the Lord read that to me, He read that like that. I'm reading out of the New Living. But He used the word faults, but I didn't hear it like my fault, your fault. That's your fault. No, that's your fault. No, that's my fault. That's the way we kind of read that. Like, that's a fault, you know, my fault. That's not what that is. When he read it to me, I saw San Andreas' fault. You know, and a fault is a weak place. And that fault, it's under the surface. Y'all probably know more about this than I do because it's been like 30 whatever years since I was in school. learning this stuff, and I haven't really thought a whole lot about fault lines. But you know it's under the surface. I do remember that. And I did see that movie, so which I saw right after I read the scripture, so I thought, oh, that's pretty serious. So that fault is under the surface, and you can't see it, but when it shifts, when it decides to break, when it decides to move, everything on the surface is destroyed. That is why people's lives fall apart. Because people have this stuff inside, they don't let Jesus get at it, they don't listen to even wisdom, maybe coming from parents or whatever, from church, from Jesus, from the Holy Spirit, from, you know, what? Sometimes from Instagram. I wouldn't count on that, though, unless it's the Word. But they don't listen or whatever, and this thing shifts, and suddenly everything is disastrous. Well, that's what happened to me. And you're probably sitting there thinking, my gosh, what did she do? Or what? It really wasn't about what I did. Bottom line of that whole thing was I operated, which the Lord had to show me, under a spirit of abandonment or issues of abandonment. And I found out, like, really, I didn't even know that, and I didn't know why. I was reading a book about something else, and it listed the behaviors of somebody that's dealing with, it was a psychological book I was reading, but it was listing the behaviors of somebody who had abandonment issues. And I was reading those, and I'm like, Lord, why do I do those things? That's weird. That's not right. I've never been abandoned. I've had a great life. You know, I've had issues. I've had trouble and stuff, just like anybody. But you've always been there. And my family, my parents, et cetera. Anyway, long story short, took him 6 months to really answer that question for me. But the Lord had used some, you know, Caroline Leaf's ministry about toxic thinking and all that. If y'all don't know about that, you need to get a hold of that. But he used that to open my eyes to some stuff on the inside of me. And I realized when I was 3 years old, I was in a car wreck. And this is what, all in the end of that, the Lord showed me. I was in a car wreck. Long story short, I was in shock. My dad put us in a car with this people I didn't know. They were going to take us to the hospital, but my dad put us in, and he walked back to the car. And when the Lord showed me that, and that, I didn't get that from a psychiatrist or a therapist, but you know what? I've been seeing, I haven't been lately, but I was going to therapists, Christian counseling. Does that shock you? Does that shock you? You know why? I needed more than I had. I needed more information than I had. And I want you to stop being ashamed of getting the information that you need. Is that clear? Because I needed it. So I went and got it. I came to a place in my life, I needed some information about my soul. So what did I do? I went and got it. You know, you can think, and some of the people I was listening to, you know, it wasn't, you know, the Fab Five that preach at the conventions here, which you know are my faves. But you know what? We didn't have those things that I was needing in our bag. It is not wrong to go listen to someone else preach when they know something that you need to know, okay? It's not wrong. It's okay. It's not wrong to go listen to somebody that God brings up across your path that nobody knows who the heck they are, and they're not famous. That's okay too. It's not wrong to listen to one of your peers give you a word from the Lord. The Lord will bring you what you need, but you have to open your heart, your soul up to receive it. But what happened was when I saw this scripture, I started praying this. I didn't even know what it was doing. And it says, cleanse me from these hidden faults, or you could say weak places. Keep your servant from deliberate sins. See, when you get those things fixed, you're not going to go do that crazy kind of sinning that you see some people like go, like they used to love Jesus and they used to serve him, and suddenly they're off the chain going and doing stuff that doesn't make any sense for what they know, right? don't let them control me, then I will be free of guilt and innocent of great sin. You see how that works? When you get those hidden places open to God, He can deal with those things that could send you off track or could make you judgmental. And sometimes, like the rich young ruler, sometimes it can be the people that have been in the church the longest, doing things the right way, saying things the right way, that are the hardest for the Lord to reach in those areas. What did the rich young ruler? He walked away grieved because the thing that Jesus said he needed to do, A, he couldn't see it, B, he didn't want it. And so he walked away grieved. Well, I do not want the Lord to be in that place with me, that He offers me something that because I'm too prideful or I'm too busy or I'm too thinking I've got it all in the little bank of knowledge that I have everything I need. Don't get that way. There's not any of us. I just spoke to my dad recently, and he was telling me some things. He's like, the Lord has been on me and correcting me. I'm like, whoa, wait, no, not you. Me, yes, you, no. But if an 80-year-old guy who's been serving the Lord all these years and has international ministry and knows more about faith than any human that I know on the earth, and he's saying God is working on him and has him on the floor, you know, I don't think there's anybody in here that can say God's already done with them. I know you're not thinking that anyway in your head. But sometimes we don't allow our soul to open for the Holy Spirit, and you're going to have to invite Him to do it. You know, when He, in Revelations, when it says that Jesus is standing at the door and knocking, who do you think He's talking to? He's talking to the church. What's He talking? He can't be talking to people who have Him on the inside, can He? He's already in there. No, He's not talking about getting in your spirit. He's talking about getting in your soul. Where do you think worship comes from? It doesn't come from your spirit. It comes from your soul. That's what makes it so powerful. That's why when you use your soul and your soul is engaged, mind, will, emotions, when your soul is engaged, all three parts, and you worship, things change. Why? God's presence, like Pastor John was saying, God's presence is there in the room, but God's presence is in your soul, because that's where it comes from. But if you're, you know, I'll just show you, for instance, about how important your soul is, or how important your emotions are. You know, the Lord began to, this is not going anywhere, Lord, where I thought you were going to go. Okay, so even your emotions, all right, God has so changed me. He's so poured His heart, He's poured out this spirit of worship in me, and that began to change me. I didn't even know I needed a spirit of worship. I was like the rich young ruler, and I was thinking, and quite honestly, y'all know Max? Max goes, Mom, y'all, can y'all hear him say it? Mom, there's more. I'm like, Max, have y'all had this conversation with your parents talking about worship? Max, I get it. I worship. I know. Now I'm very embarrassed that I said those words, so, you know, I'm just being honest with you. Because there's always more. That's even stupid for me to think that there's not more. But he goes, Mom, there's more. I'm like, Max, I get it. I get it. And I even said this to him, Max, be watchful over songs that are really emotional. Anybody ever heard that? Why would we say that? I'll tell you why we said that. Maybe it'll help you understand your parents and forgive them. Here's why we said that. Because your parents, me, my parents, we have spent years learning and knowing and growing to a place that our emotions do not control us. And that's good. You know, sometimes your great strength can be your great weakness if you don't allow the Lord. And that's okay, because that's just the way it is. But you have to allow the Lord to correct that place. And you have to allow the Lord in the place where you're weak so he can bring all sides up to speed, right? So it makes so much sense, but we've spent so much time putting our emotions aside because we wouldn't let them control us. Well, gosh, you know, somebody needed to learn that. Am I right? Because people for thousands and thousands of years, people didn't know that your spirit could have ascendancy over your emotions. That you could tell your emotions, be quiet and walk in what's in here. But just because we're not led by our emotions doesn't mean that we don't have them. And it doesn't mean that they're not a gift. They are a gift. And I'll tell you what, if you read in Acts, people were saved. And they were convinced. But they were convinced when they heard the disciples preach, the apostles preach, because their emotions were involved. People's emotions are, God draws us in those emotions. God speaks to us and stirs our emotions. And I'll tell you quite frankly, sometimes people don't get saved because they don't see the emotion in our face. So I've learned from the Lord, and I didn't receive that correction like, Kelly, you've been so bad for this. I received that direction. I received that correction as, Kelly, you're ready for this. Kelly, you're ready to enjoy your emotions. And there are people who really have that presence of God in their life, and they really have that they have this thing in their soul, and they're so connected. And a lot of it is in the worship songs that we love and that we sing. But they're just now learning some stuff about faith that we've known for a long time. So it'd be easy for them to think, oh, I've missed it. I needed faith. And we could go, oh, I've missed it. I needed worship. And I needed my soul. No, we've not missed it. We're coming. We're coming together. So God doesn't want you to think, you know, you're somehow in punishment mode or he's upset with us for this. It's time for us to learn this. It's time for us to gain these things about our soul. And like for me, he sent me out here to listen to this person and this person and this person about my soul. And I'm just telling you, I'm so strong, and I know there's a place for me to be stronger still, but I'm very free. And I just thought I was free before. And I just thought I was worshiping before. But I'm so free, and I'm so different. And do you know, when you realize you need God, like the rich young ruler missed out on this. He missed out on the grace of God because he didn't realize how much he needed God. And I'm just going to tell you, for us that grew up in the church, and you have grown up, if you've been here, or you've been with your parents and they've, you know, taught you this since you were a little baby, you've grown up in a strong home. And that is wonderful. But it's very easy to think, it's very easy not to really understand how much you need God. Does that make sense? I know we all know we need God. But when you've been hurt and you have cried out of that place and God gives you mercy and he gives you grace, because you can cry out like that and not really let God do some deep changes. So I'm not just talking about going through a hard time. I've been there before. And there have been times when I've been through hard things or hurt by somebody. And, you know, I just thought, well, you know what? I forgive him. I'm moving on with Jesus. And there's a strength in that, yes. And we need to move on. But don't move on thinking, I went through that all because of somebody else. Does that make sense? So even if it was like somebody was awful to you and you didn't, and there's no way that you see it was your fault, don't miss that time to allow the Lord to tell you what's going on in you. Because this scripture led me to see, yes, my hurt and my trouble was coming from another direction at me, but there was serious stuff in me that needed to be changed. And so to me, I would not even go back. I would not go back and change. Now, did God do that to those steps? You know, no. But He so changed me that I wouldn't trade that. And so you don't even really have to go through that kind of hurt to open up your soul. Because, you know, what kind of sinner was I at 3 years old to bring that on myself? That wasn't the issue. The issue was I had some wrong thinking in my heart that was affecting me. And God fixed it. And I am more merciful. I am not judgmental. You know, I have this really strong love for people. I thought I loved people before, but it's like my emotions are in the middle of it now. My emotions, my soul is active and alive. You know, the word, well, I said that about Jesus knocking, but when the word says, awake, O sleeper, who do you think that's talking about? That's not talking about the sinner. That's us. We're the ones that have to wake up. And it's not in our spirit that we wake up. It's in our soul that we wake up and that we see the living God that lives on the inside of us, that we wake up to who He is, that we wake up to how much He loves us, that we wake up that He is everything to us. You know, I had all this big intentions. I mean, I brought 3 Bibles. You'd think I'd open one, but I had all this intention about talking to you about some of these things. I believe the Lord will show me how to say what He wants to say in a really quick way. But in John 4, you know, tells the story of the woman at the well. And the interesting thing about her is Jesus, it says that Jesus had to be right there. He had to be come through Samaria. And I don't know if it was because it was on the way or because she was going to be there and Jesus needed to meet with her. But I can tell you this, Jesus is always there. He's waiting for you to allow Him in like this lady did. But you know, when she met Him, here's what I love about Jesus too. How many of you really, this is a side note, how many of you love to evangelize? You love to tell people about Jesus. Go study this and see what Jesus did with this woman and see that the same spirit of Jesus lives in you that can ask the right question to get to the right answer that's on the inside of that person and lead them to the place where they'll accept Jesus into their heart. Because He is masterful. And He asks her all the right questions. And you know what really, she was not really interested. But when He talked about living water, here's what she thought. You mean there's a way that I might never have to come here again? Now, why would that matter? I mean, the woman's got to get water. We know they didn't have it in their houses. Why would that matter? Well, think about where she is. She's at the well at noon. Jesus is the only one there, and I suspect that she was surprised that He was. Here she is at the well in this community that's obviously a community big enough to take several days to minister to, so it's a big community. And she is at this well and nobody's there. The reason she's there and nobody's there is because that's the way she wanted it. She went at noon when everybody was at home. It's hot. Nobody comes to the well that time of day. And they're all at home. They're eating. They're whatever. And she's coming expecting to be there alone because she doesn't want to hear what the village biddies have to say. The village ladies, the village gossips, the village shamers, she's shamed. This woman is filled with shame that it controls everything she does, and I bet she doesn't even know it. Because, you know, when she's talking to Jesus here, she starts spouting religion and scriptures and talking about worship and all this. She probably knew how to talk a good talk. People who are filled with shame, they know how to talk to hide it. And I want to tell you this. You can't hide shame from Jesus. And shame is not all because people are big, bad sinners. Satan is the biggest shamer there is. And he uses it very craftily and very subtly. And so Jesus starts asking her, and she thinks, Jesus asks her about living water. So he gets her to the point where she asks for living water. She said, yes, give it to me. And so he begins to talk to her. He begins to tell her some things. He said, go get your husband. And so she says, I don't have a husband. Here's what he said to her. He says, you're right, you don't have a husband. And you've had five husbands, and you're not even married to the man you're living with now. You certainly spoke the truth. Listen, Jesus wasn't dogging her, and he wasn't condemning her, and he didn't say that to be sarcastic. He wasn't going, you sure told the truth, girl, you're a slut. I mean, that's not what he was saying, okay? What was he saying? He was saying to her, this is what I believe he's saying to her. You know, in Revelation, he says to the churches, to the different churches, he goes, I love this about you. Yes, but I have this problem with you. You know that discourse? That's really what he's doing here. He's saying, you're right, you don't have a husband. And he diagnoses her, right? But then what did she say? When she said, I don't have a husband, he's saying, that's true, and it's worse than you're letting on, but you told the truth. Because when she told the truth, that was the open door that Jesus needed. And unless Jesus was patient and kept working with her to a place where she would tell the truth, I think had she just said, you know what, because this is what most Christians do to Jesus, and they don't even know it. They're like, okay, sir or Jesus, I'll go get my husband. I'll be right back. And they're gone and never come back to that place because they don't want to hear about it. And their heart doesn't want to hear about it. And their soul doesn't want to hear about it. And your soul can be like a big laundry room, or maybe for y'all, under your bed. You know, I like to say about the laundry room that the laundry room is where clothes go to get cleaned, not where clothes go because they're dirty. Do y'all see the like minor seeming distinction between that? Because I've done both. You know, when they go there to get clean, they get clean, processed, out the door pretty quick. But when they go there because they're dirty, they're probably going there because company's coming. And you're trying to shove it out of the areas anybody sees, and you want it to look good. Y'all are nodding like, I know you're probably your moms do that, or maybe your closets are better. Yeah, I hit it that time. Because actually, there's not supposed to be anything under your bed. But your closet is supposed to be where clothes that are clean go, right? But what happens when mom's coming up? And yeah, I don't even need to finish that sentence. So, because that's what your soul can be like. When you just shove stuff in there and you don't let Jesus look at it. You don't let the Holy Spirit get a... As soon as you start hearing something or seeing something or... I'll tell you something that can bring this up too. It's when you have conflict with somebody and you feel like it's their fault and it rubs that place in you that you're actually probably wrong about. But you don't want to admit that, so you just fight to be right. That's a sign that there's something you need to deal with. And you don't let Jesus in there. Well, this woman, she didn't do that. She started to after this. But she, you know, she let him in. And Jesus wants in that place. And you're going to have to be honest with him. Because when you're not, it creates shame. Even like with your parents. If there's something going on, like if when I've been talking, something's been rolling in your head, you should go tell. Go tell. Go tell Pastor John. Go tell your parents. Tell, not your, really not the peers is not the best thing. go tell someone in authority. Because the second you do, you break shame. The second you do, you're stepping into freedom. Because these things that we store up, let me tell you that 30 years from now, that thing, you leave that thing unsaid. You leave that thing, you think, well, that was just in high school. No. You'll be having that thing in your soul when you're 50 years old. Okay, I'm going to go there, Lord. All right, I have only told, this will be the fourth time I've told this story. And maybe the last, unless the Lord keeps making me tell it. But I want to show you how shame works. Shame creates a pocket. Well, let me say it this way. Sin can create a pocket, shame goes in. Hurt can create a pocket, shame goes in. And it hides in this little covered, lurking pocket, okay? And I want to show you how it works. So I'm really grateful for the things I've learned from Dr. Leaf about toxic thoughts. But because I learned how they work. So when I was in this meeting with her, she said, ask the Lord to show you any toxic thought. This was like 2.5 years ago. Almost three. Actually, 3 in June. She said, ask him and he'll show you. So she went through this process. So I did that. And I had this thing flash across my mind. When things flash across your mind, how many of you have ever had something that happened a long time ago flash across your mind? You don't stop to think about it. You don't stop to rebuke it. It's just there. It's like, for me, it was an image. Well, it was from that car wreck. And I didn't know it was from a car wreck. It was just an image. I'd grew up, I'd have these dreams about being between two monsters. But through the process of this, I realized that image was real. It wasn't just a dream. It came from that night. And it was Halloween. And so I realized that that's how they work. They flash like that. Well, there are things that would flash across your mind maybe. That maybe a time you told a lie. Okay, here's what I did. Are you ready for this? I know y'all won't believe this. Jenny was on the front row while I was telling this the first time. She's like, seriously? I've never heard that. Anyway, so I was, I just finished third grade, so it was the summer after third grade. I forget how old I was at that time. But I was at summer camp in Arkansas, Brick Hill Ranch, where I went every year. This was my first year. And somebody had told us about it, and they told us about all the activities and about, there's this one night they would do skit night, and every bunkhouse would do a skit and da-da-da. So they told me about all that. Well, here's this night. We were in our skit planning meeting as a bunkhouse. So I'm sitting on the bed, and I lay down, and for some reason, I don't remember what it was, but I closed my eyes, and they were all just talking. It was like 12 kids plus two counselors in there. And so I'm hardly having a hard time looking at y'all. No, I'm not really. But it is really ridiculous. So the girl, the senior counselor, now everybody knows my dad's a preacher, but he wasn't that famous. I mean, he wasn't that well known back then. It was in the 70s. And so the counselor says, I think she's in a trance. The Lord only knows why she thought I was in a trance. But I was not in a trance. I was just laying there with my eyes closed. You know, we call that playing possum, right? And so I was just laying there, and so I went with it. And I would like to have thought I would have woken up and said, oh, no, I'm not in a trance. I'm here. Go keep talking. But no. I went with it, and I just laid there for a little while. And they're talking. They can come up with an idea. So I popped my head up, and I said, I have an idea. And they're like, what? Because they think I've been in a trance. That's real trust in a third grader's spiritual condition. But anyway, so I told this idea for a skit. They thought it was fabulous. fabulous. It was based on the Bible and it was awesome. The problem is, it was the skit that our friends had told me that they did when they were at camp. Isn't that awful? I know. Judge me. I get it. It's bad. And so, anyway, long story short, I never repented. Well, I'm sure I probably repented, but I never told anybody about it. I'm 52 years old. I never told that story until a few months ago. But how does that work? All my life, that image would pass through my mind, or I'd hear that girl's voice and say, oh, she's in a trance. And I might laugh or think it's stupid. It was a stupid third grade thing to do, right? But let me tell you what is happening through a device of Satan when that flashes through your mind like that. What does it say? You're a liar. I mean, you don't have to have had premarital sex for this stuff to be hurting your life, hurting your call, and hurting your soul. But I promise you, if you've messed around with any of that, it's there, and it needs to come out. And it's more important that you get it out than anything in the world. It's more important than how much you fear your parents might do to you if they find out this or that or the other, because it will still be in there and Satan will still be using it 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years from now and stopping you from being impactful, stopping God from doing in your life or with your life what he wants to do. Because what else was it saying to me? You're a liar. You can't be trusted. And this is the biggie for somebody who's ministering the gospel and somebody who wants to walk in the things of the Spirit. Here's the biggie thing that was saying to me. You're phony. And I'm not, but that's what shame was doing. Do you see how that works? So whatever it is, as soon as you draw it out to the light, Satan's done with it. God has it now. And what happens to you? You are free. You are free. This lady, she let it out there. And I'm telling you, it was whatever the process was with her. But she even talked about worship and all this. What did Jesus do? He brought it right back around. She started arguing about something that completely didn't matter. He brought it right back around. Don't let people, when you're talking to them about Jesus, don't let them get off track. Don't argue with them. Love them. Bring them right back around. That's what Jesus did. Anyway, so he says, the woman says, I know the Messiah is coming, the one who is called Christ. When he comes, he will explain everything to me. The Amplified says, he will tell us everything we need to know and make it clear to us. That's what she needed. And Jesus said to her, I'm the Messiah. Or what was he saying? I'm here. I'm right here. I am right now. It says, just then the disciples came back. What an anointed, simple word he had for her. And I don't know if he said more to her that's not recorded. Really, it doesn't matter. She let him in. She let him dig around in there. And I want you to see what happened to her. Verse 29. She went back to the, ran. She ran back to the village telling everyone, come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Does this sound like the same woman that went to the well by herself? Would a woman who was filled with shame want everyone in the village to go talk to the guy who might tell on her? No. Because what you find out when you open your heart, from whatever fear you have of opening your heart to Jesus, you're going to find that he can be trusted, and you're going to find that he is trustworthy. She did not in any way think Jesus is going to rat her out in a way that would hurt her. And honestly, at this point, I don't think she even cared if he did tell everybody about what she had done, because she was free of shame. And I want that for you. I don't want you to live years with stuff that Satan's using and you don't know about it. I mean, for me, that made me mad. I don't know how y'all are, but that made me mad. that Satan was using stuff that I didn't even know was there. I mean, it made me mad at Satan. But again, you take the wrap off of that, take the covers off of it, uncover sin, uncover hurts, hurt sin, it whatever. Jesus came to carry our sorrows and carry our sin. And sorrow will destroy your life as bad as sin. It might not look as bad to the outsider, and it might not even feel as bad. I don't know. There's a certain thing about hurt and crying and letting your emotions run in that direction that is satisfying to your flesh, but it will continue to carry shame and carry shame until you open it up to Jesus. And guys, it's critical. I want this for you. I don't want you to live in a way that Satan can stop you. This woman, though, she runs back to the village. Now, this is the part that's so awesome. Many Samaritans from the village believed in Jesus because the woman had said, "He told me everything I ever did." I love that. It wasn't just Jesus that changed that village. This woman was the Jenga piece of the puzzle that changed that village. When they came out to see him, they begged him to stay in their village. So he stayed two more days. So he stayed for 2 days, long enough for many more to hear his message and believe. Then they said to the woman, okay, this woman, they've all talked about her, they've all shamed her, but then they said to the woman, "Now we believe, not just because of what you told us, but because we've heard him ourselves." This one, he said, "We know indeed he's the Savior of the world." This woman let him in, and what happened? Impact. Major global, come on, Pastor John. Major global for her, everything she could see impact. How many of you want to impact your schools? You know, I heard what you said on Sunday. You made an impact. This is my alma mater. Thank you very much. They need it. So, your impact comes when you open your heart up to him. When you let him in those places. I don't know where you want to take this, but we're not called to be perfect. We're not called for that. Perfection is not daily. Perfection is your life. We are being perfected by God. But you need to quit worrying about stuff when you miss it. You need to quit thinking everybody's going to judge you and everybody's got this. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. God's going to be showing you some stuff because Hebrews 12 talks about a shaking, and that's what's happening. It's happening to everybody across this planet that knows Jesus. Jesus is shaking us up. Why? Because there's stuff in there that doesn't belong. Hebrews 12 says, our God is a fire. And he's burning it up. And I say, let it burn, baby. If it's in me and it doesn't belong in me, I don't want it, and I want it burned out. And I want you to have that same fire in you. And I want you to have that same passion in you to run so after Jesus. There is just nothing in there that can stay that doesn't belong because it doesn't flow with what you're called to do and it doesn't mean anything. And who cares what you did? And who cares what you thought? And who cares what stupid thing you've done in your life? Nobody. Not me. Not Jesus. That's why he came. And you're not any better or any worse than anybody that's ever walked this planet as far as Jesus is concerned. He's just here to be inside of you, all of you, every part. And I don't know what your issue is or what the thing is in you that Jesus needs to work on, but I guarantee we've all got them. And there's places we all need to open up to him and let him in. Amen.
Amen.
I love y'all. Pastor John.
Amen. Let's say thank you. So here's the deal. Pastor Terry came, had something she wanted to talk to you about, hardly talked about that thing. Talked about something totally different, but it was exactly what we needed to hear. And you came and had something that you wanted to talk about.
Got about that much
of it. And got about that much of it, but it's exactly what you needed to hear. And one of the things that I thought was so phenomenal about this is as we kick off this series talking about soul health, number one, we're going to learn how to have a healthy soul. Not just learn about having a healthy soul, but how to do it. How to have a healthy soul. But number two, tonight showed you how important it is for your soul to be healthy. And if your soul's not healthy, you cannot build what it is that you want to build. It will crumble every time. And that soul health has to do with living apart from shame, living apart from guilt, and being honest and open. And I thought that was so cool. The illustration of the San Andreas Fault. You walk around California and some of the most beautiful places in the United States, and you would never know that there was a time bomb beneath you. And when those time bombs go off, it really doesn't matter how pretty the scenery is. It all crumbles. So this is important. I believe this is God saying, if you want to build the youth revival capital of the world, you're going to have to get this right.
Or you know what's going to happen? People are going to come and they will feel judged.
Yeah, yeah.
If you don't find out you need Jesus, then you are hard.
Yeah.
And people will not know His grace if you don't.
Yeah.
And if you don't think you're, and if you don't find out how imperfect you are, there's no grace.
Yeah.
You can't receive the grace without knowing you need it.
That's right.
That's Beatitudes is all about that.
That's right.
And so all about this, Pastor John, what is so critical is His presence, for our awareness of His presence. I mean, He's with us, yes, but we're talking, come, yeah. Come in.
Yeah.
Come, Lord Jesus. Your presence is everything. I mean, when you sing that, and guys, if y'all want to come up, I know it's over, and if y'all need to leave, I will. But when you sing that, I'd love for them to worship just as they leave or
yeah,
whatever. But
absolutely. Stand on your feet.
When you sing that about His presence and you haven't gone through there, you're just singing.
That's right.
You haven't let Him in those places, you're just singing. You're singing a song, maybe thinking about, do I look cool? You know, you may think, you know, you need a Mandy Lindsay Hook hat to make it look right, or whatever it is you think you need.
Yeah.
That's not it. We need His presence.
Yeah.
And there is no presence of God without engaging that, our
that's
soul.
That's absolutely right.
And I expect what will come on the other side of this is a presence of God like none of us have ever seen.
Yeah, yeah. We'll make way for a greater manifestation of the presence of God, because we won't just be in a moment of worship. We'll be in a place.
And it won't just be here.
Yeah.
Guys, Jesus is in my bathroom.
Glory to God.
Maybe not right now. I'm not there. But what I'm trying to tell you is that I worship. I worship all the time. I worship when I'm getting ready. I worship on the back porch. I was feeling sorry for my neighbors today. You know, because it's just different.
That's
it's
right.
Just different. Life is different. And His presence
That's right.
is with me. Not here. And I don't mean just, yes, He's always with us. His presence.
Yeah.
Like He's talking to me. He's showing me stuff.
Yeah.
I can't explain how different life is like that.
Thank you for listening to the 1440 podcast. If the Lord has ministered to you in a big way through this time, we want to hear about it. You can email us at testify@1440online.com.